Thank you for listening to an audio resource from Stanwich Church, located in Greenwich and Stamford, Connecticut. The vision of Stanwich Church is to know Christ and make him known.
The New Testament lesson for today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. This can be found on page 1081 of your pew Bibles. Following the resurrection of Christ, the promised baptism of the Spirit descended on the disciples at Pentecost, enabling them to preach the gospel in many languages so all could understand. A reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Jesus really said it. "It's better for you that I'm going away." Now, those are distant words from us, but you can imagine what the response would have been in the disciples. "What?" Wonder if Peter elbowed Thomas a bit later and said, "Did he really say he's going away?" Jesus said, "The reason it's good for you that I'm going away, I'm going to send someone else who will be your helper to care for you." And then he did it. He went away. I like what Philip Yancey says. It was Jesus' best day as a human. He got off of this planet and got back home. But you can imagine how scary it was for those disciples. But Jesus gave them instructions: go back to Jerusalem and wait. Wait and watch and see what happens. The Feast of Pentecost, that's what today is. It's a day of celebration for the church where we acknowledge the day where everything changed, when the life of Jesus and the work of Jesus moved from one person to us, the body of Christ. And we're setting off on a 12-week series through the summer on the Holy Spirit. To better understand who he is and what he does in us and through us, but also to experience him. Because the Holy Spirit isn't just someone that we intellectualize. The Holy Spirit wants to saturate us so that he would have more of us and we would have more of him. And so I'm really excited what God's going to do for us and in us over the course of this summer. You have to begin in Pentecost because that's when everything started for the church. This is when we were born. This is when we were birthed. Stanwich was born in 1731, but we're just riding the coattails of centuries of church, of the people of God that have been pursuing him. This is a long passage. As we were praying this morning as a team, I thought, I need 2 hours to preach all of this. So I'm going to nail it down to 2 words that you can take with you this morning: fulfillment and filling. First, let's begin with fulfillment. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. When the day of Pentecost arrived. There's two forms of time in Greek literature. There's chronos time, which is moving along, but there's kairos time, those moments that are pregnant with God's presence when he does something new. We read the biblical stories of the people of God. They have chronos, they're continuing with God, but there's these moments where God breaks in. For Moses, it's his burning bush experience. For Esther, it's for such a time as this. For Samuel, God doesn't look at the outward. He looks at the heart. Oh, there's the one. And he pours out the anointing on David. Mary, who all of a sudden is invaded. In all of those situations, they weren't necessarily looking for it. God initiated something in their life. And this is an initiation. There's multiple elements of Chronos and Kairos in this passage. The Chronos is the festival life of Israel. They lived around the feast. They waited for these special events that were coming up that marked their lives. There was Passover, which was celebrating their liberation from being slaves in Egypt. There was the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, where they made little booths to remind themselves of the 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, how God had been their presence and their provision. And then there was this Pentecost festival, or Shavuot, which was a celebrating of the covenant that God had made with his people and the law that was there to help direct them to the path of blessing. And when this Pentecost came, there was a long-awaited promise that was being fulfilled. So this would have Jesus would have been at multiple Pentecost gatherings. But this time, he's not there, and God's going to break in a very fresh way. He comes in unique power. Now, the promise had been since the Old Testament. The prophet Joel said there's a day coming when the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. Throughout the Old Testament, we'll pick this up over the course of these 12 weeks, God would come upon individuals to help the people get to where they needed to go. But there was the promise of a day, then the Spirit would be upon all of us to represent God in this world. Then the prophet Ezekiel, both of these were talking about new covenant days were coming. The prophet Ezekiel said he would come and put his Spirit within you, that you would carry the Spirit from place to place. You wouldn't have to go to a temple or a tabernacle. You would become the temple and a tabernacle. And all of a sudden, there's this movement. It's actually what had been promised by Jesus in Acts chapter 1. If you remember the introduction of Jesus through John the Baptist, he says, I baptize with water, but one is coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, in finishing up his teaching with the disciples, says this to him. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? A baptism in the Spirit. And he says this words, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So go back to Jerusalem and wait for what God is about to do. Verses 2 through 4. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Manifestation. For us to experience the Holy Spirit, there needs to be some form of manifestation. He's Spirit. Think about it from the aspect of wind. Has anybody here seen the wind? No, you haven't. Have you heard the wind? I faked you. No, you haven't. I did some research this week because I wanted to make sure that all this is true. Scientists tell us we never hear the wind. What we hear is the wind hitting something and creating fractures of sound that come to us. See, we couldn't hear the Holy Spirit unless he hit us, right? That we'd become alive in him. And there's three forms that are found in this text. There's sound. There's like a wind. It wasn't actually a wind. It says it was like a wind, which is interesting because in the Hebrew scriptures, the word for spirit is ruach, which is wind and breath. You can see how the manifestations even start to create our sanctified imagination for what's happening here. The second one was sight. There were tongues of fire that came upon them. I still don't know what that is. Trying to figure it out. But when you think about it, fire is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. When he's leading the people through the wilderness, it's a cloud by day and what? A pillar of fire by night. Okay, is your sanctified imagination coming along a little bit with this? And then finally, they have these tongues, these unlearned languages that people hear and understand about God's love. This is the reversing of Babel. You remember the Tower of Babel when people tried to make a name for themselves and God spreads them out and it makes missions very difficult? You have to learn a language, but now God is all in a moment having people recognize the full message because the Spirit of God wanted to make himself known to them about what was happening in their time. Verse 4 says this, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll do some teaching on this over the course of the summer. We get so lost in the manifestations. It's not really about the manifestation. It's about the person of God coming and occupying us. There are actually theologies that are created that if you don't have certain gifts, you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you can't really see that from the scriptures. At one moment, they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they have incredible joy. Another time, they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they speak in tongues. Another time, they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they have this community gathering of love that is just incredible. The only time they get in trouble is when they're filled with the work of Satan and not filled with the Holy Spirit. And so our focus isn't on the manifestation. Our focus is on the personal relationship that God wants to release in us and through us. Verse 4 says this, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's up to the Spirit to give what he wants to give as an expression of what he's doing in my life. So it's my so what this morning. We got a picnic to get to. I got to get this to a close really quickly. Today changes everything for us historically, but also experientially. God wants to release his Holy Spirit through us in fresh ways every day of our life. So just follow. Good Friday is our Passover. As the blood was applied to the doorpost of those Israelites of old and the angel of death passed over, the blood has been applied from Jesus over the doorpost of our hearts. And in relationship with Christ, we are fully alive. That deserves a little better than an amen than that. Resurrection is our Sukkot. It's our festival of reminding ourselves that we're only here for a temporal time, that we're really just living in booths, no matter how nice they are, whether it's a fancy apartment or an incredible large house or a shack. We're all just passing through. And resurrection is the promise that one day we are going to a place that God has prepared for us that is incredible. I got a little better amen on that one. But Pentecost Sunday is our Shavuot. It's where the law, God's path unto blessing, comes alive to us by the Holy Spirit when he comes in and he fills us up with the fullness of God that he can take over everything. You see, today is about reminding ourselves that we do not want to be in control. We want him to be in control. We want to surrender to his work because we want a saturation of the Holy Spirit. See, Pentecost is historical, but it's experiential. And it's an invitation to be saturated with the Holy Spirit. Now, the cool thing about that, there's Chronos and Kairos in that as well. See, Paul says in Ephesians, keep on continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I come back to the Lord every day. I start my morning and I say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit because I want to walk the life of Jesus on this earth. And I come back the next day and I do it again. Why? Because I leak. Holy Spirit fills me. And in the course of the day, because of my flesh and the world I'm in and the battle that I am against the evil one, I lose connection with him. So that's Kronos. But my view of baptism of the Spirit isn't just doesn't happen one time or a second work of grace. I think baptism happens multiple times in our life. I believe there's moments where we're moving along. Think about your own sanctification. You're moving along and you're making progress, but it doesn't feel like you're making progress. And all of a sudden, there's a life of abandonment moment comes to you, and then your spiritual life jumps here. You don't necessarily know it. People looking on know it. Because you're still wrestling with your flesh at a certain level. And then all of a sudden, there's this moment, a crisis comes, and God gives you a new calling, and he comes upon you and gives you another baptism here. And then you kind of wander a little bit, and then you start chronologically coming along and making your presence. You see, the Holy Spirit will come on us at different times and in unique seasons for what we need, and he will come with a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm starting a new chapter here. I want a baptism in the Holy Spirit. I want the fullness of what he has for me in this time. And I want the fullness of what he has for all of us in this time. So what's the now what? This is the summer saturation in the Spirit. We're not just going to do it on Sundays. We're going to do it throughout the week. There'll be the preaching series to bring you along. But we're going to have a family reading that we're doing as a Stanwich Church. It's called The Familiar Stranger. It's written by Tyler Stanton, who's pastoring a church of about 2,000 next gen in Portland. It's some of the best stuff I've heard on the Holy Spirit because he gives you deep, rich theology, but underneath it, he's telling you how to experience the Holy Spirit on a day-to-day basis. I don't want to just know the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. Anybody with me? Yeah. I want to know. I want to have good theology, but I want to operate in what the Spirit is doing around me. As we read this, there's also some art that's been set up in Emmaus Hall. Renditions of what someone has interpreted as tongues of fire. And Emmaus Hall is going to be open to you 24/7 from Monday through Saturday. We want to invite you to come in and just sit before some of that artwork and read the scriptures underneath them and see if that enlivens another part of your being unto what the Spirit wants to do. And then to add to it, on July 19th, we're going to have an encounter Saturday morning with the Spirit. A little more teaching, but some opportunities for you to press into what the Spirit wants to do in your life in this season. I believe God has incredible things for us. Now, that was the largest baptismal class that largest membership class that I've seen in all my years of Stanwich. So I'm thinking about going away for 6 years. I have a really nice place in Florida. I want to say this about the work of the Spirit. When Luke wrote, I don't think he was thinking in individualistic American terms. Whenever I see the work of the Spirit, it was about what he was doing in the community. And some of our theologies have made it about individuals. Is that person baptized in the Holy Spirit? That person doesn't do this, so maybe they're not. That's really not the role of all this. I want to be saturated as the people of God with the presence of the Spirit so that when people outside of this community come and see how we love one another and how holiness is a part of our life and how we're living to a different standard, they're going to say, I want to join that community as well. Not that we would have a bigger community, but for their good, for the freedom that God wants to bring to them. They're searching for something, as we all were at one time. And God is waiting to release it in us. You say, Chuck, well, what are you expecting? Well, yeah, some of us will get gifts that have been dormant for a while. They may come up, a gift of administration. Someone may speak in tongues. Someone will get a gift of prophecy. God will release it. He does that. He has a way of doing that for people that wait upon him. I think more phenomenally will be that some of us will live more holy lives. We'll quit trying to make it happen on our own, white-knuckling it, but the Spirit will take us to a new place Because the promise of Scripture is that we are being made holy, body, soul, and spirit, sanctified, and it's Him who's doing it. And most of all, that we'd be more loving. Why? Because it's hard to love in family. Some of you are annoying. He who laughs loudest is the most guilty. I mean, think about it. Just think of your own biological family. What a disaster. What was God thinking when He came up with this plan? And then He transfers dysfunction to the people of God. See, I don't want to just love the people that are fun to love. I want to be God's presence of love, even among the annoying. So, Holy Spirit, You're welcome here. You're already here. You dwell in us. Quicken us to understand what You're doing in these days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
To learn more about the mission and vision of Stanwich Church and how you can get involved, please visit stanwichchurch.org.